When I was 22, I was at the university and I just felt like my life went down. I was always very ambitious. I always wanted to travel. When I was 12, I just saw this National Geographic program and I saw people in Madagascar. I was like, oh, I want to be missionary and go to these people. And I was not a believer. I knew that God exists, but for me, God was like this, you know, old man, like grandpa, that was looking at me and just like, Anya, you're doing wrong. You know, and Jesus was there. I knew that this something happened. But I didn't know anything about that I can have a personal relationship with Jesus. So, and my life was going and I was getting more and more lost in my life, doing different crazy things, but maybe this is for another story what I was doing. But what happened is when I was at the university, I felt such as freedom because I was, you know, far away from home, doing what I want. And I was just like going to these darkest places of the city, going to the festivals and doing really destroying things for my heart, my brain. And I remember I went to the church once and I was just crying and I was like, I can't change. I don't know what to do. And it's just like, this was that such a heaviness. Like, and I felt always this emptiness inside of me. And I started to have already like a suicidal thought. I had like a bomb inside of my head. And one day I said, if it's something is not going to change, I'm just going to finish with myself. So the same day, the girl that I met before, I knew that she's Christian a little bit different. I knew that she's going to the different church. And she called me and she said, Anya, maybe you can come. We have a prayer meeting. I was like, okay. I was 5 when I was praying with my grandma. It worked at this time because I prayed for my dad. And I was like, okay, all right, I will come. So when I went, they asked me questions, but my brain was like, you know, it's normally for a woman's brain, it's always like bzzz, but this was like bzzz, and just like, really, this was horrible feeling, like a bomb all the time, just, and they's like, okay, so on your seat, and we will pray for you. So I closed my eyes, and they started to pray, and I just had a vision. I had a vision that I'm in the car, and I'm driving straight to the edge of the cliff, and I'm going to die. And I'm just driving and suddenly I saw the man sitting next to me and he said, you don't have to die. I can drive for you. And the girls asked me, do you want to give your life to Jesus? And I was like, what does it mean to give life to Jesus? And the guy said, I can drive for you. You can give me your steering wheel. So I remember, took my hands and I said, yes. And at this point, like, it was like, you know, like a something just like in the head, like did to the balloon in my head, like boom, and just everything, you know, just disappeared. This bomb was just, and it was like a quietness. And I just fell asleep because I was like, after 3 months not sleeping, just really like in very bad stage mentally, spiritually. And I went to sleep. When I woke up, I was like a newborn baby. Really, I was just like, everything started to be sharp, like the sky was blue again, everything. And the girls gave me the Bible and I was reading the Gospel of Luke. And I just remember, yeah, I came back to my room and I started to read it and I was just on my knees. Like when I went to the part of the crucifixion and resurrection, I was just like, it just hit me. And I just knew that Jesus, this is you, this is you took my steering wheel and you died for me, for my sin. I remember crying out and saying, Lord, just please forgive me. Please, like, this is, you can take this heaviness from me, only you. And this is, that started my life. And it just very quick, I was part of really good local church with good preaching. The pastor was actually part of the mission organization that I joined afterwards. And very quickly, like joined like some festival that was creative, run by Christians as well. So, and then after that, I started to record and I started to be like a National Geographic, but Christian. So doing testimonies and traveling around the world and just being a witness what God is doing. I just shared with you my testimony, but all of us, we have beautiful testimonies. You know, like all of us, we have different stories. And we are witnessing as well to the different people and different groups that God put us, especially in this environment, in this place. So I'm going to share with you more my context, because it was just incredible that, you know, like from this context, God like took the hand, took me out, and straight away I just felt like, God, I want to come back to these places because these people are without hope. They are lonely, they don't know what to do, they feel empty inside. I want to bring them you, because they need your presence, they need to get to know you. And so this is my story that I'm going to share with you. I am part of the Steiger Mission Organization. It's international. I am leading the mission here in Poland. And we are developing basically like a Steiger City teams, which is we are in the city, getting to know the city. We are working with different churches together, mobilizing young people in the church, training them, and then sending them to the people that they normally will never walk to the church. We love to be in the darkest spots in the city, just to go and bring the light and hope of Jesus. So the topic today, it's very fascinating, because we were talking about this even, like looking at Gideon's life, but it's communicating the gospel with boldness and relevance. You know, some people are just like, they appear very bold, you know, because like, you know, just they go and talk boldly. But boldness, it's not like you don't have any fear. The boldness is something that you always trying to cross the fear. Like when we go to some clubs, when we go to some festivals, it's not like, oh, this is where I grow up, this is my environment. I just feel like, okay, this is a place of the spiritual warfare. This is like where we are going to the enemy's territory. I need to have protection. I need to have armor of God that will protect me and to be. But boldness is to do this step and to say, I'm walking with you, Jesus. You are leading me, and I know that you are with me. And relevance is something that I'm going to show you in a moment from the passage of Acts, but it's how can we preach the gospel in the way that people understand? How, when we look at the world around us, where God is sending us, that I can say the same gospel message, but one person will be like, what are you talking about? I don't understand even one word what you're saying. And sometimes we just preach and we're like, wow, this is the message of God, of Jesus, his life, his person, what he's done for us, that they understand. So I'm going to tell you from the context of young generation. We are talking a lot, like even the session before, about digital online evangelism. It's for this people, the young people, that we are saying like, oh, we need to go digital. They are there. This is their identity. So, you know, like it's a very different context we will go deeper in understanding of their identity. So I would like to show you what does young generation believe in? Because, you know, like I didn't know 3 days ago, I am not the person that I'm doing research. I'm not scientist. I'm just not academic person. But I went to one event. We mentioned this. Adeolink is one ministry here close by. And they were sharing the research about dropping this, like what's happening in Europe and which country is the fastest growing is secularism, like which country is just falling from Christianity and it's more secular. And I find out that it's Poland, my country, that was one of the biggest Catholic countries, you know, Christian countries, churches in every street. But because this group of young generation doesn't want to have anything to do with the institution of the church. And this is how they see church, you know, God. So I want to show you in one of the biggest festivals here in Poland that used to be named Woodstock. Now it's called Poland Rock, because Woodstock sued them because of the name. But it's 700,000 people that they go there every year. And this is the interviews that we ask. What do you believe in? It's painful, huh? How can they know? Sorry, I'm just always moved when I watch this. This is, you know, young people, young generation. And it's global. It's not only in Poland. Wherever you go to your cities, that's what they believe. How can they know? I would like to, guys, I know it's just like you hear all the time, Acts 17. I even, because of Acts 17, I went to Athens just to see this place. What happened there, really? Because it's just, it's the most beautiful passage in the New Testament. So let's dig in, okay, to this passage for a little bit, because we are talking about relevance and what was doing Apostle Paul, like when he went to the new places, to Europe, how he was preaching the gospel that really they understood. So I am going to read and dig into the text so you can follow. And sometimes I'm going to ask you the questions as well. So be ready, okay? Are you ready? So you can imagine, Paul is walking, all right? It's a long way. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. You know, Greece, idols, yeah? So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. So you can imagine, he was just walking, looking what's happening, the marketplace, like, you know, we heard before, you know, like squares. So this is our Paul. And a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection, okay? So he already started to preach the gospel, yeah? Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, and just for you, do you know Areopagus? This was the place, this was, you know, crossing all of the cultures, like all of the travelers that were going from there. And this was like a gossip place. They could understand what's happening around the world and just like coming here. So different people were standing and they were just sitting and hearing gossip. It's like being on Instagram or TikTok now. You just like you get all of the news of the world. So this is the place where they invited Paul and where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Nice life. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown god." What I'm trying to do here is just like, if you will imagine yourself in your city and we walk, yeah? We see different idols. There are different people, they are worshiping different things. And Paul was just searching, hearing, he was interested, like, who are those people? And that's what we as a Christians, we need to do. When we are in our cities, or God is sending us somewhere to the new place, that's what he wants us to do, to just be interested with people that they are around us. Yeah, he wants to save everyone, all nations, you know, to the edge of this earth. And, you know, he said, "I saw something, there is a statue, and there is like for the unknown God." And what he's saying after that, "So you are ignorant," very brave, "of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you." You know, very clever. He's like, "You don't know unknown God, but I came to tell you, this is the God who made the world and everything in it. In it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands." This was the reality of Greeks, yeah? And he's not served. Like, if you will be in Areopagus, there were temples all around, like huge ones, huge, beautiful, given to different gods. And he's standing in this on this hill, being there, and saying, hey, our God, it's not in the temples like that, built by human hands. And he's not served by human, by human hands, and as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out the appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. Yeah, he's just talking about beliefs, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on the subject. At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysus, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. So what we can see, even Paul, when he was doing the public preaching, he was preaching and not everybody was becoming a Christian. But here in this story, very important people, Dionysus was actually the first bishop of in the church of Athens. So what is the young generation like? They are searching for the original, like, this is very, very important, okay? When you look at people and how they think and what they were saying in this interview, they are searching for the original plan of the Father. Why? Because they want to know the truth, which is faith. They want to have faith. They want to believe in something. They want to have relationship. What we say, they are searching. What I was saying in my testimony even, I was searching because I was empty. This emptiness only can be filled by Holy Spirit, by God. Nothing else, nothing is fitting there, only God. And that's why we are searching. All of creations in the earth are looking for relationship with God. They want to have identity. They are asking questions, who am I? Community, that's what we were talking before, community, church. They are searching for mentors. Now they are going to psychologists, therapists, you know, like just people to talk to, like they don't understand what's going on. But like spiritual guides, creativity, they are very creative. Young people are amazingly creative. And goal to change this world. So I want to share with you one story. So there is a story about Olivia. Olivia was a girl that she lived in a family that unfortunately a father and mother, they divorced. She was a little bit confused about this, but also when she was 12, she started to be a girl, which means, you know, like growing up, yeah? And she started to look that, you know, her breasts, you know, are growing, everything. It's just like she really started to feel uncomfortable. That's normal for a woman. Some women are excited because like, whoa, something is happening. But some actually are really terrified. What's happening with my body, you know? And she was terrified. She didn't like it. And she was just like, you know, why do I not feel good in my body? Ba-bam, well done. You are trans. And she just started to live with this thought, talked to her dad, talked to her grandma. Everyone was like, well, no, you're crazy. No, no, no. 4 years, she was just living in this lie that she is trans, that she is a boy, man, in the body of the woman, girl at this time. So when she was 16, her dad was just like, gave up, probably just act of love, took her and she started to do therapy. She started to take pills, hormones. After that, she did operation. She started to look more and more as a guy. She was looking for the truth, who she is. She was looking for the relationship, somebody who can tell her who she is. Who am I? Community. She didn't have any people to really help her in this time. She didn't have spiritual guide. But she was very creative. And she wanted to change the world. So in this time, this is Sam. This is who Olivia became. And this is Olivia that she lived in the, she believed in the body of man for 6 years. She even did tattoo devil. She just gave her body everything. She said like, I sold myself basically. And one day, she was very depressed. She was very successful, like, you know, business. She had her tattoo studio and everything. She was just very, like, you know, top younger influencer boy at this time. And she was like, why am I feeling like that? Why am I always not satisfied? What's going on with me? And she just started to have really strong suicidal thoughts. And then suddenly, just like when she was thinking like, I'm finishing with myself, then there like a wind came through the window and Shiva felt like this overwhelming love. And she heard a voice, do you want to know the truth? And she of course like, yes, I want to. And she heard, you're a woman. You are a woman. And she started to weep, like she was like on her knees and she was crying and crying and she couldn't stop. And she was like, if somebody will tell me that, I will think like she will reject it. If I will start to have these thoughts, I will think like I'm crazy. But she heard and she knew it's something very special. And she started to search and then she finally just went to some church and she heard about Jesus and she finally knew that this was Jesus who came to her and told her like a real truth about herself, who she is. How many people now hear these lies? Every day, just can you imagine? They are waking up and it's just like, you know, when you think like what kind of problems I had when I was in her age and now it's just like, can you imagine to wake up and just feel like, I'm not a woman, I am a man. It's just devastating. Like the basics of who am I? So this is, for example, like the picture taken, and I'm not going to say where, but where do you think this picture was taken? Yeah, concert, but I'm like which country? Sorry, maybe specify the question.
Netherlands.
Yeah. Netherlands, okay. No Netherlands. Poland. How did you, who said that? You, because I'm from Poland and you were just like, clever. I took the picture in Poland. Yes, but it's in Poland. And the thing is that young people, like I went to Japan, to Tokyo, they look the same. When I went to Beirut, to Brazil, everywhere, it's just like, people just like, you know, it's a global youth culture that we have around the world and they look the same, they listen to the same music. You know, like everyone knows the lyrics of Billie Eilish, you know, all the, and you just like, they're wearing the same, they think they are original, but you know, like they are very special, but actually just like all around the world, they listen, watch the same the TV series. They are on the same Netflix. Maybe some countries they have more here and there, but you know, in Poland, they're watching, you know, Korean TV series, like, you know, and they know the culture, global culture. I would like to show you now the video. This is the video that is too loud. So this is the video that As Tiger, we are, like, you will hear a little bit, like, we are going to the streets, we are doing this, you know, like, or to the festivals. But also we have a heart for high schools, for universities. And there is an art high school in Wrocław that they are doing very creative things. They're like, I love artists. I just, like, I have totally broken heart for them because they are so sensitive. Like, if you want to know what's going on in the world, just go to the art school or Academy of Art or to the museums, galleries, and you know what people are thinking and what is they focus. So I would just want to show you the video, what we've done last year. The event was called Revlov. So we did like a workshop. We were talking about seven lies of this generation, what they believe in. We did some discussions about what is real love. We did the workshops. Yes, if we can put it lower. The film workshops. And we gather like teachers from the school to talk. What is the love? Like, what young people like understand by love? Then we had rappers and music. And then we did performance called I Am, where we just show the power of the cross. When they saw this ripping curtain and they just felt the presence of God that was coming to them. And they were just crying and we could pray for them. And that's something so special. Because you can go, you can do something creative. We have a lot of, you know, like artists in our mission that they do like workshops, which is fashion design, a film, photos. And we just go and we just have a dialogue with them. We hear them. We listen what they love, what they don't like, what they hate or what they are thinking about this. Because very often these young people feel like nobody listened to them. Most of them, they are under 18, so they can't vote. They don't have a voice in the country. And it's just like, hey, nobody listen to them. They just like tell us, hey, you have depression, take the pill or this. Or just like, hey, well, let's go to for holidays. Let's go to Egypt. And parents, they think just like this is how they will solve the problems of this young generation. And what they need is just community, somebody who really listens and loves them. So we go, like I said, to the main squares. We preach the gospel there. We are going to the clubs, inviting different bands. We are doing like different events in the culture places. This is in the LGBTQ plus club that we did. It was in the main square. The manager really liked the event that we organized in different club with her. And as she invited us, I was like, oh, what we're going to do? And because I love Brazil, I took Brazilians. We did like a Brazilian party. I put documentary from there that I did and just like, and we just all the time preach the gospel inside, outside. And I was like, probably they're not going to invite us anymore. It's just like LGBTQ plus club. But they just took me. And, you know, like in Poland, it's like if you like it, you know, they give you vodka and they just say, hey, you did really good job. You know, like this event was the biggest event we had it here for you know, since the beginning. And I was like, no, sorry, I don't drink, you know. but the thing is that what we saw, that they are so interested. We did another event that invited us, and we had Bibles designed by artists from Poland. She did PhD in art, Christian artist, and she did Bibles with different stories. Like she said, God knows each one of us by name and showing different stories of different people. And you know, at some point we said, so like, oh, one Bible is just missing. And then we see like the manager of this club is just reading behind the bar, just the Bible. And she's like, wow, that's just so beautiful. Wow, nobody told me. And this girl that she's an artist, she was also, she was a lesbian. And she was leading a lot of, you know, like love parades and things. And suddenly she just said, okay, I need to prove myself that God doesn't exist. So she said, like, how to do it? I will read the Bible and I will just read the Bible and I for sure God doesn't exist. when she read the Bible, she just like every page was like she was reading. She's like, wow, what's that? And she started to feel like she said, like she felt like physically God is changing her heart, softening her heart. And she was like, wow, it's just like, it's not possible that, you know, like something that she had inside of me just like started to change. And then she started to search more and more. She just started to go to the church. And suddenly she just was like, okay, I really need to find my identity in Christ. She gave her life to Jesus. And now she's got amazing husband and a child. And she just like loves preaching the gospel through arts. Amazing friend of mine. And we are doing like in the, this is like in the center of Wrocław as well. We have like a tent. We're doing different programs there inside, inviting people, doing like a Bible studies. We call it Bible studies for non-religious because they always like, oh, we are non-religious. I was like, great, we have a Bible study for non-religious. You should join us. And we talk to them. We are doing like a poetry night. So this was when the war started. There was a lot of beautiful poetry from Ukraine. And my cousin, she's a poet, so she was translating from Ukrainian to Polish. And I just, you know, I was talking, and this two Ukrainian ladies that they wrote this poetry, beautiful, really like a very often like a pray to God, like asking why this is happening, what's going on, you know, because they ask why. Why we have war? Why my husband needed to die? And, you know, we just show the love of God when we prayed. And one of these ladies, she gave her life to Jesus during this event. And this is something that happened in Krakow last year for the New Year's. So just give you the context. Last year we did Revive Europe for students. We had almost 2,000 students from all over Europe that we gathered. And we were like, perfect time, New Year's after Christmas, a lot of tourists in Krakow, beautiful city. If you didn't go, you have to go and visit. And what happened, we just went with over 200 people and just like, you know, worshiping God. And like this guy said on the stage, the road is called King's Road. You know, the Revive Europe, there was prepared the way. And when we arrived, you know, like I was the main organizer and the police was there. I was like, whoa, I'm in trouble. And the police was like, hey, we are here. Are you the main organizer? I was like, yes. And they said, we are here to prepare the way for you. I was like, what? And it was like, yeah, we are here to prepare. We have the documents. So we are just going to lead because there is a lot of crowds now. And you're just going to go after us. I was like, that's amazing. And the road is King's Road. So this is where the king in the history was going towards the castle. And I just was like, and you know, like you could see army of young people worshiping the name of Jesus, going and preaching the gospel in the main square of our cities. And this is what's happening. This is a movement. Young people in the church, they want to have purpose. They want to preach the gospel. We need to open doors for them. We need to give them tools and just like go and preach the beautiful news. So leading people into a relationship with Jesus. This is from Romans 10, 8, 15. I won't go through the whole text, but just we were talking about, you know, like what is the most important in evangelism. But, you know, like when we look, the most important is that those people are going to meet personally Jesus. That's what happened with us. It's not like we follow some kind of religion. We didn't follow like forms. We are following the living God. We are following Jesus. And that's just something that we need to always remember, because some context, especially like in Poland, you know, Catholic country, just they really are not aware that they can know personally Jesus. So just these few verses are very important, because when sometimes we say like, how, what they need to do? We're just giving them like, you need to do this, this, this. But if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. That's it. Of course, there is a process, there is discipleship, there is like responsibility that we have as a church. But if they will say with their mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and in heart they believe that he rose from the dead, they are saved. And we need to believe in that. And we need to, that's why, go and preach the gospel. And of course, start Bible studies. They need to hear, they need to grow. But that's something, the beginning, like this, like personal connection with Jesus Christ. So this is one of the, because you're probably thinking about this Bible studies for non-religious. Let me just give you the context, because, yeah, it's going really fast. So so we have a project that is working offline and online called Who Am I? And it's, like I said, the problem is identity. Young people just struggle with identity. And when we were going to the streets, I love asking one question. So like we as a team, we went and we're asking one question. Hey, if you will see, they, most of them, they say, we don't believe in God, or we believe in ourselves or energy. But I, you know, like we say, hey, but if you will see now God face to face, what will you ask him? What will be your one question to God? And it's just really cool, because you give them the opportunity to really imagine that God exists. And they're like, okay, God is, you know, something special. It's like, you know, he knows everything. So they give these questions, like, what's the purpose of life? Why do I have so much pain? What, you know, like, why I am like I am? And what really happened on this cross? Like, all of these questions, that they are the deepest, deepest questions. And we put it together, these 10 questions, in the booklet with Bible stories, with the testimonies of people. And we put it online and offline, just starting something like Christianity Explored or Alpha Course, that we just gather people. Usually it's outside of the church, because what we found out as a mission, that it's not anymore very easy to invite people. Even you will give them food and whatever, just like, they're just not interested. When they think like, oh, it's a building of the church or just name church, they just don't want to have anything to do with that. So we are doing a lot of times outside of the church, in some in some clubs, or just in the city if there is like a nice place. And then we are just discussing, putting on the TV this question, and then we have groups. So I don't know if you got the whole interview. Maybe I can, you know, so it's artistic, creative, and actually it's in our church, because it looks cool, so people are coming, and so we can do it in our building. But what happened is, this guy, he was just on the streets with his friend. He just read the Quran, because he said, like, I'm searching for the truth. So he read the Quran, and he started to read the Bible. But he said, like, I don't understand that. And then when a group of missionaries that they came, I think they were from IFES, they came, and it was like, hey, we are doing this event, so you can invite people. And they were doing something creative as well. But these guys came and was like, hey, maybe you can come and we are reading the Bible together. And this guy was like, you know, sparks in, wow, you're reading the Bible. Actually, I'm trying to understand what's there. And he came, and his name is Michał, Michael. And so, like you saw with this interview, and was like, ah, well, that's great. But then our friend Bogdana, she's from Ukraine. She came during the war. She's part of our team. She came to me, and she's like, oh, you know, just introducing, and so said, like, oh, you know, what's your name? Where are you from? And this boy, guy, he said, I'm from Russia. And she was just like, I was like, whoa, what is going to happen? You know, just like, you know, Ukraine, Russia. But this girl, Bogdana, she was just like, with smile in her face, wow, that's great. You have to come next week. We are doing like an Easter event, and we are going to study the Bible, what really happened during the Last Supper, and what happened in the cross, and when Jesus died on the cross, and then resurrection. I was like, okay, I will come. So when he went, the week after, there were Ukrainians, Belarusian, and he is a Russian in one table. I told you, they are really creative. Table, Last Supper, just like, why not to take a picture like this? But can you imagine, they were just like celebrating what God did, like being in the Last Supper with the bread and with the wine and just like, you know, talking, reading the Bible together. And they were just like united in that. Doesn't matter like Ukraine, Belarus, Russia, just unity, like almost like a reconciliation, you know, like at one table. Beautiful. And they became friends. They are doing till now like some interviews. He goes sometimes to the church. It's just really beautiful story. So what I want to tell you that when I was young, the only person that I felt like I can really be honest, it was my grandma. So on Sunday, I was going always for the Sunday dinner to my grandma. And she was always asking me, how do you do? Like, you know, how is your life? And I could just be honest and say if I feel good or bad. And she was just for me. And that's something that young people need. Like we need to open our, we feel like we need to do something really big. But sometimes these young people just need, you know, invitation to come to our homes and that we can ask them, how are you doing? What's happening in your life? Because, you know, like they don't have, so they're just, like I said before, they're going to psychologists, therapists, they're searching for help somewhere. But, you know, getting the pill, it's not solving their problems. What's solving is a community, somebody that they feel like important, they feel like part of something. And that's why I believe mission, church, community, Christianity, I'm talking, this is like, we are coming to the basics, like the first Christian church that started. It was community, even they were going through persecution or some sicknesses. They were together. It was like all of the kind of evangelists, even social, like, you know, just like they were, Christians were first going and helping those people that they were dying on the street, even families. It's like, you know, a little bit like a COVID time, you know, like all isolation, you know, lockdown of, you know, like I heard stories that, you know, like husband got sick, he was in the loft for 2 weeks. It's just like, you know, because people are terrified of death. They are terrified of sicknesses. And this is, and the first church was like, we know we are here because of Jesus Christ and we know where we're going. And that's why we need to preach the gospel. We need to be for them. And young people are dying. Young, you know, like I told you about this high school, like the girl, cuts on her arms, sitting on the corridor, and just like she said, nobody even reacted. Teachers didn't know what to say. And she's like, I don't know what to do more. And the pain is taking my pain from my heart. When I have pain on my body, it's just like, it's like a release of some pain that I have inside of me. And it's just like, you know, like you cry with those people. It's like, you need hope. You need to meet Jesus. It's just like, that's why Jesus is the answer. That's why we need to go and preach the gospel to them. So preach, make disciples. Yeah, this is our big commandment. So a commission. And at the end, I just want to tell you the story about grandma. She was not my blood grandma. I told you about my grandma before. She was a very amazing woman. But this is Grandma Pat. She was in our church when me and my husband, we got married. We moved to England. And we were part of amazing, amazing Baptist church that was like planted by Spurgeon. And just like a lot of like history of 150 years of mission. And we went and we met Grandma Pat. Grandma Pat, that she had a lot of teenagers, you know, granddaughters and grandsons, and she knew how lost they were. And she, when I saw the cafe next to the church, I was like, hey, let's open this cafe. Let's do something for the young people from the neighborhood. And, you know, like the second meeting, and we had like 70 young people just coming from all around, from parks. Police was so happy because they had in one point just all of these young people that they didn't, you know, were not doing crazy things outside. And when they were coming, there was a basket at the entrance for their whiskeys and vodkas because, you know, like they couldn't get with the alcohol inside. And there was Grandma Pat that she wanted to serve. And she said, you know, like, can I just be there for them? Like, I know I'm old, but maybe I can just make a hot chocolate for them. I was like, yeah, great. So she was there. And then each week when they were coming, she knew all of the guys by name. And she was always like, hi, hi, John. It's so great you are here back with us. You know, here is hot chocolate for you. Oh, yes, grandma. But if we're like little boys, you know, like we were 17, 18, like big boys. It's like, oh, grandma, Pat. She became even street pastor. She was going to London. She was going there like during the night, just helping those guys and being like, oh, this is Grandma Pat. She was like a hero for us. And, you know, just like doing these bold and relevant things, you know, like the steps. And she was always with me during the Bible studies as well. She was like, oh, you know, like just talking, oh, Susan, I understand your pain. And she was just like, you know, the softness, like a honey for your heart and, you know. So why I'm saying that, because we need to pray for God's army with a heart for the young generation. People of all ages are needed. Each one of us. We have calling, like we have families that are lost. We know neighbors, cousins, maybe brothers and sisters. It's just like, I believe we need to be with all ages to stand together and fight. This is a fight for the life of young generation.